All right, well, the coronavirus creating a lot of angst in China, to say the least. The death toll now in the hundreds. Nobody believes the numbers, really, to be honest with you, anymore. The last reported number was somewhere around 400, but nobody believes that because they can't seem to keep up on the numbers. And you have to wonder, the last number given for the number of people infected is 14,000. Some believe that number is actually well over 100,000. But the coronavirus is also creating other problems in China. People taking films on phones and so forth. And those people are being arrested for showing people what's really going on in China. Those people are being arrested by the Chinese, of course, because they don't want the secrets getting out. So we'll keep up to speed on all of that. Meanwhile, we look back to the Iowa caucuses, and apparently there's still no results. Complete chaos in Iowa. A complete disaster. Unbelievable. Joining me, Liz Harrington from the RNC, national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. Liz, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning.
So, do you have results?
No, apparently none of the candidates have results, but that didn't stop them from giving victory speeches last night. If you have any question as to whether Democrats are still living in alternate reality since 2016.
Well, I hear Pete Buttigieg has claimed victory, even though there's no votes to claim victory on. But there is some indication that Bernie Sanders from early, there was just a little scant bit of numbers that came out. Maybe 2% of the vote showed Bernie Sanders doing exceptionally well and Pete Buttigieg right there with him. But it indicates to us and to others that have been watching and trying to read the tea leaves, Joe Biden got crushed from what we're,
exactly.
what we're seeing. So
and he really got out of there, they kind of gave him another one because the story would have been, you came in fourth or fifth, maybe. I mean, it was apparently the results are not good for Joe Biden. This is, of course, his third time running for president. He's never made it out of Iowa before, and he's been promising from the beginning, hey, I'm Mr. Electable. I'm going to win, and yet you apparently didn't win Iowa.
Well, here's the other thing. If Bernie Sanders wins Iowa, which I believe he most likely did, and Joe Biden doesn't finish in the top four, that is a worst-case scenario for the Democrats. I mean, that's a nightmare scenario for the Democrats. You've got a guy who everybody knows can't be elected nationally with his platform on, you know, nationalizing the electrical companies and taking over everything and raising massive amounts of taxes. He's a guy who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. And I think the president called it right when he called him a communist. He has no chance of winning. The guy you thought could win finished fourth. Does that open a door for Michael Bloomberg, I guess?
Well, I guess that's what he's banking on, quite literally.
Yeah.
Which is, you have a huge divide within the party. You know, what's amazing, what we saw last night, you know what caucus went smoothly? The one for President Trump, where he beat Obama's record for the number of caucus goers at 30,000 people, an incumbent, which we all knew who was going to win, and it went smoothly. And then you look at the Democrats. What I was struck, and it's still the same, and it clearly has improved their optimism about their whole situation when they can't even run a caucus. But all the headlines yesterday morning and leading up to this race is Democrats have one thing in common. They're nervous. They're anxious. They have anxiety about this election. A party official was quoted in Iowa as saying there's an air of fear. And you really shouldn't wonder why they're so nervous when they clearly don't have a candidate they're excited about. But the one candidate who has the base of support and has energy behind him is, as you said, the self-avowed socialist who honeymooned in the Soviet Union.
Right.
It's a complete disaster for the Democrats. They know, we're talking about viability last night and candidates getting on the first or second ballot in the caucuses there. They know they don't have a viable candidate against President Trump.
They don't. That's exactly right. Liz Harrington here, RNC national spokesperson. So then we move on to the State of the Union tonight. Of course, Nancy Pelosi got her dream. She got her wish. The impeachment still hangs over the State of the Union, not in any significant or important way. It's there. I don't even know if it's much of a historical footnote, because tomorrow the president will be acquitted. The charges were never going to amount to anything. But they've wasted the entire first year plus of their control of Congress. And I think Nancy Pelosi is in the position to lose her speakership for the second time because of, you know, people talk about what a master politician she is. Obamacare cost her the speakership the first time. This ridiculous impeachment effort is likely to cost her the speakership a second time. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. She's going to make history, the first female woman to lose the gavel, not once, but twice. And you're exactly right. Do we need any more evidence? The same party who wants to run over 300 million Americans' health care can't even tabulate votes at a caucus. They couldn't build a website in Obamacare. And you're so right. Their overreach last time led to the biggest wins in Republican that we had ever seen in 2010.
Right.
And I think the same thing's going to happen this November. And you're right. History will not remember this impeachment. It'll be the most pathetic impeachment. It won't even really be a footnote because it'll be so inconsequential. But what will they remember? They'll remember a trade deal with China. They'll remember rewriting NAFTA, what everyone said couldn't be done. So when President Trump gets up there, he's going to look like the leader he is, with a long string of accomplishments and talking about forward thinking and optimism and a new can-do spirit that's alive and well again in America. And Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats, they're going to look so small. What have they done? They've handed out pens for their sole accomplishment, which was impeachment. They've done nothing for the people. They've done nothing to get things done. And they're going to look as small as they deserve to look, because they've turned impeachment, which is supposed to be an important constitutional mechanism, they've made it a joke, and they've made it a footnote, and they've lowered it down so low to a petty political tool. And I'm really looking forward to the contrast as well, because then you'll see the senators in the audience. Are they going to cheer with the historic low unemployment for Black Americans, Hispanic Americans? Are they going to be happy about the wage growth?
I think the people are going to remember their jobs.
Are they going to vote them out tomorrow? I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous, but it shows the contrast which we've seen all along. President Trump continues to work for the people, and Democrats continue to work against their will in trying to overturn 2016.
Liz, I think you got it. I think you've nailed it, because I think people are going to vote for optimism, the fact that their job is going well, their family's doing well. The country's not in some new war. We're not in some mess somewhere. Anyhow, Liz Harrington, RNC national spokesperson, greatly appreciate you being here. And if you come across those results from Iowa, if you could send them to me,
I'll get a carrier pigeon out. I'm sure that's probably more reliable.
Yeah, there you go. Liz, thank you for
that.
Greatly appreciate it. Quick break. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal: to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy, they do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.